The scripture reading for this morning: The Lord is my shepherd, coming from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. It is a delight to see you here this morning. We're thankful for your presence. We say that especially if you're visiting with us. We are particularly glad that you are here with us this morning. We began a series of thoughts a couple of weeks ago now concerning doubt. We talked about doubt and what it is. We defined it. We talked about some causes for doubt. We began to look at some passages that help us to overcome doubt, which in the end, I am convinced that our Lord wants us to do that. That he does not want us to doubt, especially him, but he would that we overcome it if we are challenged with it. We try not to be flippant with people's minds, thoughts, feelings, things they're experiencing. Try not to paint with too broad a brush that everybody's the same, that if you're this or that, something's wrong with you. Not trying to suggest any of that this morning. We try to stay away and avoid those things. People do struggle. Christians struggle. Sometimes they struggle with doubt. Sometimes they doubt for any number of reasons we've discussed. So as we move forward, we'll talk about hopefully our mutual understanding that we should overcome it or seek to overcome it. In fact, one of the things that might help is if you, the one struggling with doubt, would be very clear as to why and with what you're struggling. We don't assume we know what everybody is struggling with, and so we try to cast a wide net. Some people struggle with God's existence. They believe because they were told to believe. Well, we tried to talk about that. There's evidence for God. You should examine the evidence. And some people struggle with their salvation. We'll get to that. I believe I'm saved. I've obeyed the gospel, but it seems so hard all the time. And I don't know from day to day whether or not I'm doing enough. Well, hopefully we'll get to that as well. We move through these passages that are hopefully passages that will help you to overcome. One of the things that would go a long way to help is if you identify exactly what is causing your doubt. The 23rd Psalm is, I believe, one of those passages that will help us to overcome doubt. The psalm is well known. It's probably as well known in the Old Testament as John 3:16 is in the New Testament. It seems everybody knows Psalm 23. It kind of reminds me of the model prayer where people can quote this one by rote just like they can Matthew 6, Our Father which art in heaven. It seems everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. It has likely been providing comfort since it was penned. From the earliest days of its writing and somebody began to read it, it probably comforted them even then. We touched on it this morning when we said God has not given us the spirit of fear. We might also add to that thought, God has not given us the spirit of doubt, but of certainty and of truth. As we progress through the psalm, we'll make 3 points with regards to the psalm. Hopefully these things will help us as we overcome, triumph over the idea and the issue of doubt. Point number one is this. It's there early in the psalm. I might add this. David wrote the psalm, and he wrote it obviously toward Jehovah, but the Lord, Jehovah, in the first verse, can be read by saints with an understanding of the work of Christ. And so we can read it with clearly the idea of Jehovah, but with God in the flesh having come and lived out the work of God and ultimately the plan of God. Point number one is seen in the first verse. We'll spend a fair amount of time here. The relationship should remove doubt. The relationship should. The phrase is this. I'm having a problem because I can't see in front of me what you're seeing. So I'll either keep turning around or I'll keep messing up. One of the two. Point number one, the relationship. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. You have your Bibles this morning? Yes, no, maybe so. To appreciate this, you have to understand that a shepherd is writing the psalm. So what might help is if we read a couple of passages from shepherds to understand the idea of the relationship of shepherds and sheep. Just what's involved in being a shepherd? How did they live? What did they do? Look back with me in Genesis chapter 31. The Hebrews would have been thoroughly familiar with shepherd and sheep because that's what they were. In fact, that's how Jacob is going to introduce himself to Pharaoh. My fathers were shepherds, he would say. He was a shepherd. And on this occasion, it is actually Jacob talking. He's discussing with Laban after Laban has chased him down and his family, made demands to check through his goods to find his things, he says. Not knowing, of course, it was his own daughter who had taken his gods. Jacob, after Laban searches his things and comes away empty, in Genesis 31, beginning in verse 35, she said to her father, "Let it not displease my Lord," that is Rachel, she does not stand up. And so when he doesn't find them, verse 36 says, "And Jacob was wroth. And chode with Laban." He chewed him out is what he did. "And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass and what is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and I brethren that they may judge betwixt us both." Here's where he begins. "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me." Where were you, Jacob? "I was outside with the sheep." What happened when it rained? "The drought consumed me." Well, what happened at night? "I didn't go inside. I stayed outside with the sheep. And the frost by night and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages this 10 times. He goes on to say, had it not been for God watching over him, Laban would have taken all that he had and even maybe killed him. Jacob gives us some insight into what it means to be a shepherd, to watch sheep, to care for them, to tend for them, to be with them. When? Night and day. Whether it rains in the drought whether you freeze at night. If you've never been in a desert, you'd be probably surprised at the wide range of temperature deserts can have. You can bake in the daytime and freeze at night. Jacob said, my sleep departed from my eyes. He gives us a little insight into the dangers as well, not simply the discomforts. He says wild beasts came, tore some of the animals. He says other people came, they stole some of them. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Listen to the young shepherd David talk about his time as a shepherd with sheep. He went up to the battle to take food to his brethren, provisions. While he was up there, he heard the giant defying God and his war, his nation, his people. David has said he'd go fight him. Verse number 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Well, that surprises everybody involved. This young little boy said he'll go fight the Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. You're too young, David, and he a man. He's a man of war from his youth. David, the shepherd, began to speak. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. What'd you do, David? I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the army of Israel. Go back to Psalm 23 and listen to this shepherd. Talk about his shepherd. The shepherd who fought the lion and the bear, because that's what shepherds do. In fact, before we get to Psalm 23, listen to John 10, the Lord as a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about himself being a shepherd and having sheep. And like Jacob and David, willing to make sacrifice for his sheep. In fact, verse number 10, the Lord says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He goes on to describe his work among the sheep and his power to lay his life down and to take it again. What's the point? Read the phrase. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'd like to, as a gospel preacher, pause here. I appreciate we're talking about the psalm, and we're talking about David as a shepherd and talking about Jehovah. But in light of Jesus being our shepherd, it seems like we have to say this. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The reason that's important is because people will read this psalm and say the same thing. Except those people won't live under the old covenant with David and are Jews. No, those people will live under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And those people won't be his sheep. When David says the Lord is my shepherd, he is saying that as a man in covenant relationship with God through the law. If you're after the cross of Christ and you read Psalm 23, you might find comfort in the sentiment and you might say, the Lord is my shepherd, except he might not be your shepherd. Friends, that seems worth mentioning for two reasons. Have your Bibles, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Somebody has to love you enough to tell you. You might believe yourself to be a part of the sheep of God, and you might not be. And you would do yourself a great service if you will search the scripture to see whether or not the things you've done are what God requires for one to become a part of his flock. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, but I must bring them in, and there'll be one flock. There'll only be one fold." The Jew and the Gentile in the first century, but all mankind in one body, the church. See the book of Ephesians. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the apostle Paul wrote this, beginning in verse number 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." If one does not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, one cannot be a sheep in the fold of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says in verse number 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. From everlasting destruction, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. One more passage and we'll get back to Psalm 23. Look at Matthew 7. The reason this needs to be said, and I appreciate it, breaks up the flow of the psalm. I got that. It throws us off just a little bit. I thought you were just going to move on right through this psalm and it kind of breaking up the flow. And now I got to think about people being lost. Yeah, I get that. Thought about all that before I got up here. Still need to do it, though, because we love the souls of man. In Matthew chapter 7, there will be people who have believed they were right with God only to find out too late they weren't. And somebody has to tell them that. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then he says this, "Many will come to me in that day." Friends, they won't come to you. They won't come to you. Jesus said, "Many will come to me in that day. And they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Jesus is going to say that to people who believed he was their shepherd. Friends, they never were. When David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," that needs to be able to be said by everybody, for the Lord would love to have it so. But if you don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, then friends, Jesus can't be your shepherd. Psalm 23. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Back to the idea of doubt. Doubt has to do with things being unsettled and uncertain. And people of faith need to be people who are certain and settled. In fact, friends, again, I don't know what and if you're struggling with regards to doubt. So I don't mean to put you out there like that. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm doing. What I am saying, though, is you need to understand in Christ, there need to be some issues that are settled. These issues don't get revisited. David is not saying the Lord is my shepherd this week. David is not saying the Lord is my shepherd while everything is going great. But the moment trouble arises, then I don't know, I'm in doubt. And know what David is saying? No, sir, and no, ma'am. You need to settle some things in your faith. Joshua did. If it seemed evil for you to serve the Lord, listen, you do that. Choose you. But as for me, it's settled. Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's a settled issue. The Lord is my shepherd. That's settled for David. Peter, Lord, Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's settled. We ain't got nowhere else to go but you. Amen. The apostle Paul, settled. "I know whom I believed in, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Friends, again, I mean you no harm, but God can't be on the hot seat every week. God can't be in doubt every week. He's great on Sunday. Monday they messed with me and now I don't know. You don't know what? You don't know if the Lord is your shepherd no more? You don't know? What happened to God on Monday that you no longer know if he's your shepherd? Friends, some things has got to be settled. You need to settle God's nature once and for all. Either he is or he isn't. Either he is or he isn't. Check the evidence. He is or he is not. Two things can't be true at the same time, not when they disagree with each other. Amen. Is Jesus Lord and Savior of the world or not? Yes. If he is, it's settled. Is God's word true? If it is, it's settled. In fact, the psalmist says it's settled forever in heaven, Psalm 89. It's settled, Psalm 119, 89. The church settled. David says, it's settled for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and as a result of that relationship, I shall not want. You apply that to Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, Philippians 4:19, Paul says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Point number one, then, the relationship of sheep and shepherd removes doubt. Point number two, his provisions remove doubt. As you read through verses 2 down to about verse number 5, as you read through those verses, read them with a focus on him. In fact, can you focus on him? Listen to the he and me in the verses. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why not? For your wrath, you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. You can read the psalm in either direction. You can read the psalm from the benefits of the sheep, or you can read it from the provisions of the shepherd. But either way you read it, you shouldn't have no doubt. He, that's what shepherds do. Shepherds are out in front, and so they lead. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. I believe, though I'm not one, I believe cattle rustlers and cowboys and ranchers drive cattle. God didn't call us cattle, called us sheep. Shepherds lead sheep. The book I read suggested that the shepherds have a particular call for their flock, and that each shepherd, their sheep, know their voice. And as they walk, sometimes the flocks intersect. And each shepherd can call a particular call and sound, and the sheep will find their way to their shepherd, for they hear his voice. Amen. The shepherd says of his shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. David would have known exactly what was involved in making sheep lie down in green pastures, indicative of food, provisions, green pastures. He goes on to say, he leads me beside the still waters. It's said of sheep that they won't drink if they're not settled and at peace. David, apply that spiritually. He provides for me. He leads me beside still waters. Friends, let me ask you this real quick. I'll move on. If you have Jesus as your shepherd and you don't have peace in your life, what's wrong? Because this shepherd leads sheep by still waters. Listen, friends, if you are one of those individuals who can't seem to get along, can't be at peace, can't sit still, can't be quiet, just in a perpetual tornado, something is amiss. That's not the state of God's people. Because the Lord is my shepherd. It's said of sheep that they have no natural defenses. In fact, what I've read and suggest that they're the only animals like that. They have no, the skunks have their spray, the porcupines is quills, the sheep, fur, wool, rather, and it gets sheared. What can they do for them? Nothing, but they have a shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In fact, that same book suggested that occasionally you will find sheep scattered. And they said that's always a telltale sign. When sheep are scattered, it's not long before you find a shepherd's body, because he fought and laid down his life for the sheep. David says, my shepherd, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Spiritual provision. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I might ask this, where's your shepherd leading you? This shepherd leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness. That's right doing, especially as it relates to their fellow man. This individual is beneficial to others, salt of the earth, light of the world. This is a changed person. You do appreciate we can only push the analogy so far, for people aren't real sheep. People have a part in this process. And so he says this person does right because his shepherd leads him in the paths of righteousness. He goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We talked in Bible class a little bit about reasoning from the worst backward. Well, friends, what's the worst the world can do? As far as I know, the worst the world can do is kill your body. Matthew 10:28, cannot harm your soul. This sheep says, I have no fear even in death's shadow. Why not? You apply that to the New Testament, where you have our shepherd in John 10:17-18 saying, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. And then he did it. You hear the apostles preaching in Acts chapter 2 and say that the death, it was not possible for death to hold him. Then I'll fear no evil. David goes on to explain why. Because you are with me. I read somewhere, I don't know where, it was a while ago. That's a good old word right there. A while ago. Author said, you can't have a shadow without light. I did the same thing, Steve. He went on to say this. He said, when you're walking through the shadow of death and the Lord is with you, he said, it's the Lord's light that casts the shadow so that death can do you no harm, for you are with me. Gone, Jesus. Fear what when the shepherd has already conquered death? Fear what when he walked out of the grave, and as a result of him walking out, we know we'll walk out. Wherefore, he says, comfort one another, Paul says, with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4. Thou preparest a table before me, he says, in the presence of mine enemies. Friends, you should know this about your enemies. God doesn't have any problem defeating your enemies. Now, you may have all the problems in the world, but I can assure you this, God doesn't. Let me ask you this, though. Do you have a problem trusting the shepherd? David says, you prepare me a table in the presence of my enemies. You know what the Lord said? Pray for them. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray where? In their presence. The Lord is preparing you a table in the presence of your enemies. The Lord says, pray for them. What are you doing? He said, don't return evil for evil. While he's preparing you a table in the presence of your enemies, don't return evil for evil. But what are you doing? He said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and the Lord shall judge his people. He's preparing you a table in the presence of your enemies, and he says, I'll give the vengeance. What are you doing? The reason the Lord is preparing that table is so he could do the next thing. He says, my cup, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Will he do it? Can God prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies if you trust and do what he says to do to them? Let me suggest this. Ask Joseph. Joseph, can he do it? My brothers hated me. Miss Potiphar lied on me. They put me in jail because Mr. Potiphar believed her. And what happened to you, Joseph? When my brother sold me, I rose in Potiphar's house. When she lied on me and they put me in jail, I ascended the corporate ladder in the prison. When they forgot me, they brought me out and I stood over Egypt. Why? You read Genesis 39 and you'll read this phrase, but the Lord was with Joseph. Can he do it? Ask Daniel. What'd they do, Daniel? They tried to turn the king against me by making a decree in his name. They knew I prayed to my God and I wasn't going to quit. What'd they do, Joseph? Daniel, they threw me in prison. How'd you fare? The Lord was with me in the presence of mine enemies. How about it, Esther? The Lord was with me in the presence of my enemies. What do you say about it, Paul? The Lord was with me in the presence of my enemies. You go on through the scriptures and you see if God isn't with his people in the presence of their enemies. How did he leave us? How come we fall apart between 8 and 3 air day? How did he just forget about us? How did he do that? I wonder, do we trust him? Every person I just referenced turned to Jehovah, relied on Jehovah, lived for Jehovah. They kept praying. They kept living faithfully. They kept doing right by him. But sometimes we join our enemies. We take up the fight. We tell the shepherd, I got it from here. And it seems to get worse and worse and worse. Finally, his communion removes all doubt. The relationship does, the provisions do, and the communion with him does. David says, surely, surely, almost in a concluding sort of thought, surely, it is certainly the case. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. And I will dwell with him in his house all the days of my life. It's personal. I will. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Reminds me of Paul in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with the Lord. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's personal. There's no doubt in that man because of that relationship. There's no doubt in David. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me. We say sometimes to people, I trust we mean it and I hope we live it. Christianity is the best life in the world. Is it? You believe that? That this is the best life any human can live on the face of the earth? Well, 5 of y'all do. I guess the rest of y'all thinking about it. Get back with me next week, maybe. Let me know something. I don't know. Goodness and mercy, he says, will follow me. Why? The shepherd. All the days of my life. And then what? We talked about a little bit this morning. But wait, there's more. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, we're going to heaven. If you are a child of God and you are living a faithful life, not a flawless life, not a perfect life, a committed life, a faithful life, if you are, you're going to heaven. And friends, if you are, that should give you all the motivation to live right, to love God, to learn him, to light the world, and be all that you can be to his glory. If not, friends, why not? The Lord is my shepherd. I hope he's yours. I shall not want. He will provide for me. He will lead me. He will restore me. He will. He will. He will. Can you focus on him? He will. He will. He will. Not a Christian this morning, become one. Friends, you need to be a Christian. You might be on the fence this morning. I hope you'll get off of it. I hope you'll come over to the Lord's side. I hope you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, you need to. You need to be a Christian. Well, why do you say that? Because the Bible says that. Because Jesus died for you. Because God loves you. And because, friends, sin will keep you from God and heaven. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24. Repent, change your heart, change your mind, give your life to him, turn the direction of your life, Luke 13:3. Confess his name, Romans 10:9-10. Be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38, 22:16, Romans 6:3-4. Change your state, be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Be born again by water and of the Spirit, and let God through Jesus save you. Then the Lord will be your shepherd. Friends, you will not want. But if you are, friends, if you are a sheep in the sheepfold of God, that psalm should give you great comfort. Friends, this should eradicate any doubt from your mind. If you're struggling with doubt, find out why and what am I doubting? For if the Lord is your shepherd and that's true, you have no cause to doubt. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.